I am going to finish chapter 4 of Genesis. And it's not, so I won't be very long in this particular chapter. I will have other things to say about the names that are listed in the book, but I lost one of my books, or misplaced one of my books that would help me to have a better clarification. The names of those listed here in the 12th of the 4th chapter, as well as the 5th chapter, are very fascinating names. And so we're going to go over a couple of them today to have a picture of what happens. Most of the time, the Bible gives the name of the person after they have done something that gives them that title. Now, we are very familiar with King Saul, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, the word Saul is not his name. The word Saul means the appointed one or the anointed one. That's what that word means. And he was the appointed king. And therefore, because of that phrase in Hebrew, he was known as Saul. His first name is very weak in the book of Kings, I believe it is. It'll take a while for that to come about. But just let you know that God names, or things are named because of the actions of somebody. So we're going to go through some of the names here. We left off in Genesis chapter 4. And verse 16, right? So I'm going to read this again, Genesis chapter 4, verse 16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Now, I've already clarified to you what Eden means, right? Now, the word Cain, it's a name that has a very unusual meaning to it. Yes, there are other names involved. We'll get to that maybe a little bit later. But it comes from a verb meaning to strike. All right? So, and it you can either mean striking an instrument or striking like a sword, a lance, sword. In Scripture, the word Cain is used in relationship to a lance, sword. So, in one way, Cain got his name. We call him Cain because of his action that took place. All right? He became known as that because of his actions. because, you know, the very first he was identified as something different from Eve. Yes?
So you're trying to say that Cain may not have been the name that Eve gave him at birth.
Correct. It's very common in the Bible. Very, very common in the Bible. You name them after they have performed something. It became like a title or identification of the actions thereof. All right. But the land of Nod, it's an interesting word. In Hebrew, it's not Nod, it's Nod. It's pronounced long O. But in our English, we didn't put an E there. Why? I don't know. If they put an E there, we'd say the land of Nod. It's an interesting word. Remember, he was east of Eden, right? So he was in the land of Nod, or Nod, or actually the verb is nude. Not naked, nude, the Hebrew word nude. All right, which is a little bit different meaning behind it. Basically, the noun verb of Nod means vagrancy. That's all. The verb, however, the word nude is meaning to waver, wandering. A land in which Cain wandered. So it wasn't a territory where he had a home. Cain always was wandering because why? He said, you will be a vagabond and a wanderer. So the land that he was from, east of Eden, he never really settled down. He never really had a home. Yes, he built a city, but he didn't stay there. He kept wandering. Because that was, why was he wandering?
He was a fugitive.
He was a fugitive, right. Why was that necessary?
Well, he had the curse of God on him.
Had what?
Had the curse of God upon him?
No, actually, the mark was a blessing of God on him. But what was? Yes. Keeping people from trying to kill him, because that was his sentence. Someone's going to kill him. And God says, no. If anybody does kill him, remember it's sevenfold? That's sevenfold not against Cain, but sevenfold against anybody who kills Cain. All right? Because the just, in order to justify Abel's blood, it took a different killing. All right? In order for that judge's blood had to come, we read that in the book of Hebrews, and it had to be the blood of the Messiah to justify the actions of a murderer. All right? The mark was set there for one reason. So people will know. If you see that mark on that man, if you kill him, sevenfold be upon you. And there's no mark to protect you if you take Cain's life. All right? Now, as I said before, you read this thing. You can find this from also from Jewish writings and their scholars, that mark was not a mark of a curse. That was a mark of a what?
Protection.
Of mercy. All right? The judgment came against Cain, right? The judgment was, you will never see my face again as long as you live. I will not talk to you and you will not talk to me. That's it. He said, this is too much. I cannot bear not being able to talk with you. Out you go. I will do this much for you, Cain. I'll put a mark upon you, and if anybody kills you, sevenfold curse will go upon them. They're not protected from that. They will not receive mercy. They'll not receive a protection. But Cain did receive a protection. Now, this kind of tells us a little bit about how God thinks, doesn't it? All God thinks is that he is going to justify the death of Abel. He's going to do it through, and it says in the book of Hebrews, that the blood of Abel is crying out, but the blood of the Messiah is greater than. It will do the job. It will call forth and take, in a sense, the Messiah took the death sentence. He takes the death sentence for David. You know what David did, right? He took the death sentence. David deserved to be dead, executed. And he didn't get executed. He got judged. And Daniel will probably go through that judgment when he reaches that point. He received a very horrible judgment. He served one of the worst curses a king, I would think, in his statute had ever received, worse than Saul, in my personal opinion. I mean, you may think differently. So this land of wandering. So he never really settled down. He never could find a place where he could build a house. He built a city, all right. Guess what? Just tells you where you're at. He had to leave the city. Now his son stayed there. What was his son's name? Yeah, we'll get to his name in a minute. Yes.
Just in hearing that, it reminds me of people today. Bottom line is we have that, as they say, the whole size in our heart that only God can fill.
Correct.
Him not being able to be with God, experience God, have God's blessings upon him as before, nothing fulfilled. And so even in building that city, it did not fill that loss of God in his life, and he still had to wander because there was just no fulfillment.
No fulfillment.
It's like people today trying to fulfill themselves without God. There is no fulfillment. They continue to wander, however that may be.
Now, we're going to go into that word a little bit more about the word not, or node, or nude. Jeremiah, the 16th chapter, verse 5. For thus says the Lord, enter not into the house of mourning, neither go to lament, nor bemoan them. There's that word, node. do not know them. The land of Nod, do not know them. So now we have a bemoaning. We have an understanding a little bit more of not just wandering, but there's something that was happening. When you are not, like Dave said, you're not around. You're not able to talk to God. God's not talking to you. Something's going to happen to you internally. You're going to moan. You're going to be feeling the loss. And the reason why he says here in Jeremiah 16 chapter, I don't want you to lament. I don't want you to moan. Has to do with the city of Jerusalem. Don't worry about it. He's telling you where that word comes from. So we have a picture that it's just in the land of Nod because he was wandering. There was something else was taking place internally within him. Because he said, I cannot bear this. It's too much for me. Yeah. Sometimes we don't think that Cain actually had sorrow. Yes.
So in other words, Nod is not so much a geographical region as it is more internally in Cain and him being separated from his family and from
God and from everybody. Talk about being lonely. Talk about being excommunicated. The first excommunicated person was Cain. Away from family, away from friends. And even his own sons, we will learn some of the names of his own sons. I know in Jewish thinking, I'll talk about that 2 weeks from now, but Jewish thinking, they have a different approach to this thing. I'll explain that when that time comes. But it's fascinating when you start looking at these names. But let's go on now to Isaiah 51, verse 17, starting there. This has to do with Jerusalem now.
Isaiah what?
Isaiah 51, we'll start verse 17. Awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, which hath drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of his fury. Thou hast drunken the dregs of the cup of trembling and wrung them out. There is none to guide her among the sons whom she has brought forth, neither is there any that takes her by the hand of all of the sons that she has brought up. These two things have come upon thee, Jerusalem. Who shall be, and some of your translations probably have the word sorrow, is bemoan or Hebrew, who will mood you?
Mommy.
Who will bemoan you? Who will grieve over you? Nobody. Desolation and desolate destruction and the famine and the sword. By whom shall I comfort you? See, in a sense, we've seen here the city of Jerusalem being excommunicated, like Cain was excommunicated. And he says to Jerusalem, nobody's going to, quote, feel sorry for you. All right. Now, what do you think is going to happen to the city? The people of Jerusalem, if they're left abandoned without God. When God leaves, Daniel went through this thing about Shiloh, right? All right, God left. What happened to Shiloh?
Fell apart.
It, in a sense, it was disowned. We go through a society, some of us maybe never experienced it, but some of us may have, but when family disowns you. Now, when family disowns you, it can be a very serious thing on you. There is no friends, no relatives. Your mom won't talk to you. Your dad don't talk to you. Nobody talks to you. You don't remember the story, the Fiddler on the Roof movie? All right. One of the daughters had to be disowned. Now, you know, that is a tragedy in any family. But when you take a look what happened to Cain, he was disowned. Oh, wow. Isn't that heavy? So now you feel that just not the land, it's the feeling no one is going to bemoan you as he did to Jerusalem. Who's going to be moaning? Well, Cain did moaning, but no one's there to comfort him. Well, what a judgment. What a horrible judgment, you know. So he's there for us to learn, right? For us to understand something about God and how he thinks. Now, verse 17, and Cain knew his wife and conceived and bore Enoch. And he built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. Or Enoch. Actually, it's probably pronounced wrong. Let me get to the... It's Hanoch. Almost like Noah, but not quite. Now, his name is very interesting. What do you think it means? Now, don't look up now. Now, Jeff, wait. You're cheating on me. I'll ask you later. Anybody has an idea what it means? Oh, you know too. Okay, he says, this guy's got computer. All right. I'm going to tell him. All right. Basically, it has a very simple word. It means to dedicate. Or to initiate. Now, he built this city. Now, he called his son a name, and his son's name was Hanoch.
Like Hanukkah. Dedication.
Hanoch. No, it's not Hanukkah. Hanukkah is a little bit different in the definition of that definition of the word.
It's the same root. Yeah.
But it has to do to initiate, to begin something, or to start something. No, basically, he initiated a city, but he named his son this. Now, what does it tell you? The actions of the son did what? The actions of his son initiated and began when the city was being built. That's where his son lived. His son ran the city. He governed the city. He was the boss of the city because Cain couldn't. He was always wandering, fleeing for his life. He initiated something. He dedicated something. That's what that word means. Now, what do you think that Cain would have used a word that means dedicated? That's an odd name, wouldn't you think? Now remember, Cain knew no other Elohim except the one. Right? So he started thinking about these names. I said, why would he name his son this? And for what purpose? For what reason? What do you think? You have any ideas?
Well, just because he could not go to God didn't mean he didn't teach his son what happened.
It's impossible not to teach your son what happened. Impossible not to tell his son, this is what took place. This is the reason why I'm out here, my son. I'm going to build this city. By the way, it's not for me, it's for you. Now, sometimes we have this picture in our mind that paganology started. Pagan, it wasn't. They didn't know paganology. There was no other one there. They knew who God was. They just couldn't talk with him. Well, we'll go on. Maybe they could have. Listen to the next one. The name of the next son. What's the name of the next one? Yirad. It has a definition of also fugitive. All right? But basically it means move quickly, fleet. We have a fleet, a Navy fleet. Why we call it a fleet is not because it moves quickly. It moves. It's never stable, never stabilized. So we have now the grandson fleeing like his grandfather was fleeing. Doesn't tell you why. So he would have had not remained in the city of Enoch, Hanoch. And he had another son. And what's the name of the other son? What?
Mahulio is Iran's son. Mine says
Mahuchiel. All right. Now, this name comes from two different base roots of a verb. All right. Now, this bond comes from two bases. One of them is to strike, and the other one is El, that is God. Now, it can mean something different, not necessarily meaning God himself, but the El means, or all it means, strength. A strong strike, or he strikes strong. It can also refer to that as the meaning. So now we see a pattern going to some of the sons, right? See the pattern going on down. Now, I want to go to the next one. I said, this won't be very long today because we're just going through some names. Now, the next one's a very fascinating name. What do you think it means?
It means when he dies, the world ends.
Different name. We'll get to that in chapter 5. We're not there yet. Mahushael. Mahushael. Comes also from two separate verbs. All right. And the first one is, refers to as, meaning he who or man who. He who or man who. All right. We're talking what the Hebrew says right now, Ellie. Talk what the Hebrew says.
Yeah, but in verse 18, it says, and I'm going to, with English, Enoch was born to Irad. Irad begot Mahuyal, or Mahuyal. Begot Methuselah, Methuselah begot Lamech. And over in chapter 5, you've got, that's Mahaliel. That's, oh great, we got another one.
Okay, wait, you're going too far. We've gone out in chapter 5 yet, Ellie.
Yeah,
we'll go through the names.
Having a kid named Lamech?
Yes, you did.
We'll get to there one thing at a time. Just listen to names for a minute.
Okay.
I'm not going to go into chapter 5 today. The latter part of chapter 4 is connected to chapter 5, but I'm not going into that today, right? The names are very fascinating to know. I'm just telling you what the name means, all right? Break it down to two Hebrew words. The simplicity of the word. I look at the simplicity in the root, in the core. All right, that's what I'm saying, all right? The latter part is... No, this comes from two. One of the first part is the het, the yod, and the hey. And that means, whoops, wrong one. I'm sorry. Methuselah. Mahushael. Mahushael. Okay. Gets me confused. Who is of God, or the man who is of God? That's what his name means. Now, remember, it's the line of Cain. Broken down into two Hebrew words. One, we have the word El. The other one is the man who. Or the who is the man. And what is he? It's not a native phrase of God. Now, this particular one, what do you think is? What do you think his object of life was? We're talking about the sons of Cain. Now, this is one of the... See, that's his great-great-grandson. Great-great-grandson, right? Third generation or fourth generation?
Restoration of the relationship with God.
I'm sorry, what?
If his name is man of God or man from God... Restoration of the relationship in that line to God.
Okay, now you're getting close to the one. What's happening? You know, if curse goes on to what? Onto the third and can go onto the fourth.
Generation.
Now, one of them in that generation could stop the curse. Do you understand what that is there for? So you look at this name, and all of a sudden now, he is of God. He who is of God, the curse stopped. For that family. Didn't stop for Cain. Cain still had the curse. And one of his grandsons also had a problem. We don't know what it is. Doesn't tell us what it is. But he's also a fugitive. Maybe he ran with his grandfather, great-grandfather. We don't know. Doesn't tell us. Doesn't explain. We don't need to know. We just need to know that he also was a fugitive. And that's where that's how he ran. Now his name, Yerod, is being fugitive. Cain's name doesn't mean fugitive. Those two different aspects going on. All right. But she's kind of finding that very fascinating, don't you think so? Mm-hmm. Now, Lamech. 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 What we call Lamech. What does his name mean? Do you have any idea? It's a simple word. Just means powerful. A strong, powerful man. Strong. Now, he got this name because of a reason. What did he do?
He killed somebody.
Now, we don't know who he killed, but he killed somebody. And we won't go into that prophecy, what he made, because I haven't got time for it today. But on the very same time, you know, it wasn't the word of the eternal creator of heaven and earth that passed that curse upon anybody. He just mouthed off himself because he's called the strong one. Now, when we think of the word strong, what do you think of? Physical strength, okay, and?
Headstrong,
okay.
An ox.
I'm sorry, what?
An ox,
okay. Now, remember, we won't go there today, but you remember Nimrod? Yeah. What was he noted for?
Archer. Being a mighty warrior
against
the Lord.
He's what?
Being a mighty warrior against the Lord.
He'd been a strong warrior against. Strong. So we have a guy here who is not just a guy who's strong, in a sense physically strong, he did something, in a sense, bringing forth battle. He is more in the conquering type of a person. Not just killing one person. He threatened afterwards. If anybody comes after me, guess what? You know, 7 times 7 is going to go against them. So it tells you he's got more than just a lot of words. He's also powerful in his words, powerful in his strength, powerful in his might, strong-headed. He's going to so set that, my will be done.
Charismatic?
That's a good word. Okay, my will be done. This is what the Lamech is. The power is that within Lamech's mind, his will was going to prevail. And it did. It prevailed. No one came after him. No one came after him. Now, we sometimes think it on a one-to-one basis. You know, they began to multiply here pretty quick. Now, he can't be strong unless he has others with him to make him strong. You understand what I'm saying to you now? It's not just a name. It's his actions that he did is the reason why he's called, yes.
Maybe he's the first warlord or gangster.
It could be. We don't know, but you know, we're just trying to figure out some of the things that being said. These names are very fascinating to go through. And you know what? He was nothing like his dad, was he?
What does it mean that he's slain a man to his wounding and a young man to my hurt, he said? What?
It's possibly two. A man for wounding him and a boy for merely hurting him.
He said
for I have killed a man for wounding me, even a young man for hurting me.
Oh, well, my translation is different than that. That's all right.
Yeah, you have to be careful how all the it's a plurality of terminology going on there. Yes.
People.
Wouldn't that be more so a further definition of what the man was, a young man?
Yeah.
So it's one man.
Yeah. It's a young man, right. So, you know, you got a picture here now. This guy was not an angel. not an angel, but who was his dad?
Methuselah.
A man who was of God. What did I tell you? Oh, he was a bad dad.
Pastor's kid.
He didn't raise his kid up right. No. His kid had his own strong mind. He had his own way. He could care less what my dad does. And he went rebellion against not only his father, but against the creator of heaven and earth. This man's got to face a real heavy judgment. Yes.
He lived a long time.
Well, we'll talk about life, how long he lived. Yes.
Yeah, but he had time to think about this. It's not like now when we have 70 years, you better fix what you did. He had a lot of years to watch.
In my mind, what I'm reading here, Lamech had so much influence and so much power and fear that he is able to institute on others that they wouldn't challenge him. That's not a surprise. Human beings do that quite often. Yes.
Verse 24 says, "For Cain was avenged sevenfold, and Lamech 77-fold." Who is saying that? And what is
Lamech
saying?
Is
he saying he will take vengeance?
No.
Or
that he's telling anybody who comes against me is going to get 7 times 7's vengeance against them. In other words, you're going to lose.
Okay.
I'm stronger than you are. You're good as dead.
This isn't something that Adonai has put on him. This is something.
No. It's something he put on. He rattled off. Because it doesn't say, "Thus says the Lord."
Right.
Plain as day. Now, he had 2 wives. Interesting. I'm sorry, what?
The first plural marriage.
Right, but the names of the wives are kind of important. No, it kind of tells you. It's kind of cool, isn't it? Names of the wives kind of tell you a little something. But what would the name of the wife mean? What's the name of the first one?
Yadah.
You know what that means?
No.
Have two meanings. One is an ornament. Maybe she's very lovely. And the other one is dawn, like the morning, dawn. The second wife is called what?
Zila,
which means shade or dusk. The morning and the evening.
So they're total opposites.
Total opposites!
One was a morning person, one was an evening
person. Well, on the physical plane, that's true. On the physical plane, we've got to look at that, you know. But in a sense, we don't know when the marriage looked like he married the first one first, which is the dawn. All right. And then the other one he married, and it was the dusk. So we have going to the end. When it goes dark, what happens?
He died. Going to sleep.
Okay. It's kind of fascinating with those two names of dawn and dusk. It's a play on words, Hebrew play on words, and it's just plain as day. It's kind of fascinating to know that these two ladies' names were dawn and dusk. The morning sunrise and the morning sunset is a basic way of putting it in our language now today. Do you understand this? Yes.
You know, verse 24, that's interesting. 77-fold. These guys knew mathematics. They didn't say a lot of times. 77-fold.
They also understood, you know, well, what we'd call gematria, or, you know, like God, you know, meaning in numbers.
Yeah. If you said 77-fold, or 70 times 7, to a lot of people, they'd say, huh?
40.
Yeah.
But who was he talking to?
His wives.
He wasn't talking to anybody else. Now, why was he saying that to his wives for? Yes.
Because he knew saying it to women, the word would get around.
Good idea, Kathy. Very good. He made everybody know.
That came out of a woman's mouth now, not mine. Now, one of them had, no, they probably had more than what they have here, the children. But one of them had the name of one son, and the other has the name of another son. And they're very, very similar. Aren't they? They both have the same basic root meaning. Meaning stream. But one of them means more than just a stream. Means a stream of water. Always flowing forth. The other one's just a stream. Now, when we start to think about streams, we think of little creeks or little things. But what happens when a stream gets bigger and bigger? It becomes a river. It becomes a flood. It dominates. It's a fascinating terminology that's coming in this area, but I want to clarify the word that this one is she named her son the stream of water. Now, why would she use the word water? Why was it necessary for her to call him stream of water, and then when she called her son just stream? Spelled same, except one's got an O and one's got an O sound. O sound, O sound. That's the only difference between the two. So what do you think? She named one son stream of water. She named the other son stream. What's the other stream going to do? What's the characteristic of the father?
Destruction.
Killing.
Characteristic of water.
Mm-hmm.
Destruction.
Now, biblically speaking, water has two meanings. Right? What are the two meanings of water?
Life.
And?
Spirit.
And war.
And war. Oh, yeah.
The devil did what? Spewed water out of his mouth to kill the woman.
Right.
And the earth opened it up and swallowed the water. Water can be used for a blessing or a curse. All right? Now remember, he's telling his two wives these things. No, I don't think that they decided to name their sons before he did this, but probably while they were still pregnant, he probably told them this. And they said, well, your sons are going to be as mighty as a river. That one of them was. The other one, her name was what? Zella. And she born a Tubal-Cain. Now, before we go any farther than that, we have the first one that says there about Jabel, is that he's the father of such that dwell in tents and cattle. Now, what do you think that meant?
They were herdsmen.
They're herdsmen, okay.
Wanderers.
And they lived in tents. Now, we think, because we've come from an educational background, that man came out of the caves, right? That was the first dwelling place, and they kind of got smart, killed a few animals, and made themselves a tent they could live in. Then they got smart, got clever, then they started building homes and houses. Then they got smart and clever, then they built cities, right? However, the city was built already a long time ago, right?
Right.
The guy who built the city, Cain, was not an idiot. He was very intelligent. When you build a city, you're not just building, saying, oh, I think that's my territory. You got to build buildings, you got to build homes, you got to build the sewer system, there was one, you got outhouses, whatever. You have to build it. He was a builder, he was a creator, he could do things.
Roads.
And he would pass that on to his, yes.
Yeah, you had to build roads.
He had to build everything. You build a city, you build a city. You're doing a lot of work.
You have to know where to put it, defensible space, water.
Yeah, and these people are not. We think, because of our background, including theological background, that these guys were really dumb. I mean, that we do.
Right.
Because that's our nature. We're so advanced today. We're more advanced than the history's ever known. Well,
we're smart.
There is, I'd like to, for all of you, if you can, there is Sodom and Gomorrah. No. No, it was the ark. Well, they had discovered the very peg, the steel, that was used to anchor or to make that ark had titanium in it. Oh, wait a minute. That wasn't discovered until 1922. Wait a minute. There's titanium in the peg holes that held that ark together. Now, so we have this idea, and the laminations, they took they found the arks, and they got the lamination of the wood. There is laminated wood. One wood on the outside, one wood, and right in the middle is a hardwood, and it's perfectly cut. It's not sloppily done. It's not done by, axe, hatch, 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 glue. They also found out that glue was very pinnable. It was very strong. So sometimes we have, I want to look back at this thing. Why were they in tents for?
They wanted to move around.
Nomadic.
They're what?
Nomadic.
Nomadic.
Well, if they have cattle, they're going to move them from place to place for food.
Okay. Mom, dad, brother, sister, the whole family moved? Now, yes.
Well, verse 22 says, Tubal came, instructor of every craftsman in bronze and iron.
Well, yeah, I'm not there yet. I'm only talking about what the other sons first.
Yeah, but this is still, I mean, we're working with least smart people.
Right, the smart people. I want to get that pretty well bedded into our heads, okay? Mankind was advancing rapidly in knowledge, rapidly in performance. They knew how to do things a whole lot better and faster and smarter than we do. Remember, if you had a career like you, and after 80 years, you probably said, oh, I'm going to do something else. Another 80 years, oh, I'll do something else. Another 80 years, I'll do something else. So your knowledge kept increasing and increasing and increasing. You didn't stick with just one job. Now, they're getting specialized here, aren't they, though?
Right.
Yes.
Well, they were made in the image of God.
Correct.
And they're just a couple of generations down here. Well, he is the great creator, the great inventor. I mean...
Yes.
Right.
So it's a given that his children are going to be creative.
Correct. And so what I'm trying to get across is that we have to kind of keep in mind, as I said before, that Adam was probably the most intelligent man that ever walked the face of the earth. And Eve was probably the most intelligent woman that ever walked the face of the earth. Everything we've ever learned has come from what they have taught us by generation and generation and generation. Knowledge is incredible. And if you live for 900 years, do you think all thing you know how to do is pluck an apple from a tree?
Yeah.
Listen, Adam was the first what? Botanist. He was the first zoologist.
We have 1,000 years.
Well, we're talking, you know, but I said, man moved on at a very rapid pace. We're only talking before the flood, a very short period of history of mankind.
Sure.
And advanced at such rapid rate. But what took place, and we'll get there, is the advancement was only for one reason. By the time it got to the final, they weren't worshiping Elohims, multiple Bill Elohims. They were still knowing who the creator was. 1,000 years, not that far removed. The whole family of from Noah comes from tells you they knew. They weren't ignorant of God. They were rebellious. Yes. All right. Yes.
What if they had music while they were building back then? Concerning Cain, you know, he built this city probably out of rock. And then he built this city, it's called Nod. So he probably built this city in rock and Nod. Nobody got it.
All right. Now the next son, what was he noted for? By the way, the Hebrew, I got to explain something about the word Abba. All right, it means father, but it doesn't mean the father that we think of the word father. Okay. I mean, he wasn't the father who produced cattle. He wasn't the father that produced tents. I mean, he didn't procreate tents. He was the one who was the beginning of it. You know, in the Psalms, it says that when the Messiah comes, he'll be called a father. Father of what? We sing it.
Father of life.
Father of what?
Life.
What is it, Isaiah? No, I remember. I had to look at myself. Since Isaiah, cornerstone,
counselor,
Isaiah 9. Okay, thank you. He be called Father, Wonderful, Counselor. Now, when we use that word Father, we think of what in our religious world? We don't think of the Messiah, do we?
No, we think of the Father God.
We think of the Father God, but...
Everlasting.
Yeah. Everlasting. Now, what does that mean in basically Hebrew words?
No beginning and no end.
Father of eternity.
Without the Messiah granting us life, because he said, I am going to make the decision whether you have life or you have death. God the Father is not going to make that decision. I am going to make that decision, he said. God gave it unto me, and I will make. Therefore, he becomes the Father. Procreate something of life. Without him, we don't have life. So he is, I am the life, he says. So he's the Father of life. All right? It's a little word, play on word, but you understand the word Father doesn't mean one that procreates. One that begins something, one that established it, one that started the thing. All right? And the other one had to do with musical instruments, basically the harp and the organ. Harp and the organ. I mean, we're talking modern harp and modern organ here. You know, organ, no day organ. You really had to blow and pop and pop. No. You know, even an organ or even a harp. You know, what's that mean? How many of you have seen a harp?
Yeah, that's a
complex. Now, do you think it was made out of sticks and woods, pieces of junk? Or do you think the guy really knew how to make that wire fine and tune it perfectly? I think he knew how to wire, make that fine, make it perfectly. The wood that he had to make that harp strong, he had to know what kind of wood it was to make it strong, powerful, and probably laminated wood. Because that will give a greater strength. I have to give credit where credit's due. Sometimes we don't really think they knew how to do things back then, but that's not what the Bible says. Give credit where credit's due. Now, Tubal Cain. Get that one. I'm almost finished here. Basically, what does his name mean?
Tubal pregnancy.
Repeat that again, please.
Interesting.
Interesting what?
The Tubal Cain?
Yes.
The stream of swords. Kind of.
And?
Structured with
brass
and iron.
For what?
Doesn't Cain mean strike? So
well, Cain becomes, yeah, something
struck with sword. Instead of a club,
with actual
started with metals.
Right.
He starts striking with things that will do instant killing, quick and fast. What was he noted for? Sorry, what?
I've got Hebrews to take over the world.
Well, that's not what Hebrews says, but someone told you said that. Yes.
He's a blacksmith.
I'm sorry, what?
A blacksmith,
another word for Cain. That's correct.
Right.
Now, it tells you he's doing something. He's forming something out of metal.
Weapons.
And he's going to use it for a purpose of other than what? Now, remember, he is the son of whom?
Lamech.
Lamech. So he's probably building weapons for his father and the other branches that his father has coerced or threatened to be part of his army.
He's an arms maker.
Now remember, this is from the woman whose name means dusk. All right, so he got stronger and stronger and stronger. All right, do you see the picture? We started out with a guy named Cain, right? Of course, it said he had a sister named Naomi, which means basically loveliness or pleasant. So she was a... I don't have a definition of what that means, where that applies, why it's in here, but it's there. I have to do some research on that one. But anyway, do you understand what's interesting about names? It comes from what they are, not what they were when they're born. They come from what they are, what they performed, what they did in the world, what they did, how they performed. Lamech could not have been called a strong man at birth. He had to be called a strong man after he's accomplished something, which he gets, therefore, the name. Remember, Eve wasn't named Eve until after she gave birth. Now she's got a name. It's what she did that gave her her name. That's what it does in Hebrew. Hebrew's quite common with this. They're not talking about the name you give your child. In fact, sometimes maybe you probably name your child one thing, and as they grow up, you might call them something else like a brat. All of a sudden, they got a title. You a brat. You rebellious kid, you. You honorary daughter, you. Or whatever you want. Call whatever you want. Because their actions bring that about, so you got another name for them, right? But you also can call them something else. Some people call their daughter or their son an angel. Well, we don't talk an angel in the biblical terminology. But in our sense, we mean a nice person. And so now they pick up, you may call your daughter an angel. And she goes by that nickname, Angel. How many times have you renamed your kid?
You don't want to know what the name is.
You should go Samuel.
But in the Word of God, when a name is showing up, constantly, especially in the book, Abraham. We don't go by the name of Abram. We go by the name of Abraham, because that is what he did. All right? So now we get the name of Sarai to Sarah. What she did that gave her that name. You know, actions speak louder than words. And when we get, and it says in the word of Revelations, when God gives us a stone with our name on it, guess what's going to tell you? What you did. It identifies you as who you really is. Let's hope it's not a bad one. Okay. No, it's going to be a blessed name. It's going to be a wonderful name that God's going to come. We all have a blessed name. We don't know which one's going to be, but I'll tell you this much. My personal opinion, okay, it's going to be named after what we did. Not what we believe. Because everything you see in the Bible is named after what they did. Not what they believed. It's overwhelmingly that way. Why was Peter's name changed?
Shimon Kepha.
Why was it changed for? You are the solid one. It's going to be on. And guess what? He was. Half of the book of Acts is about Peter. Half of the book of Acts. And without Peter making his mention, as he did about Paul, Paul's credence or credibility would not have much meaning. But he said, what Apostle Paul says can be confused as other scriptures. He gave the words and the writings of Apostle Paul a high mark. It came out of the mouth of Peter, who said, it's like scripture. Powerful. Powerful. And it took Peter's words to do it. Remember the book of Acts? We won't go through there. He's going to be hitting the book of Acts. What was the greatest thing that Peter was confronted with?
Courage.
A what?
Courage.
A curse?
Courage.
Courage, okay.
Was it the hypocrisy of the Jews and the, you know, who they ate with?
When Paul confronted him?
Okay.
The Judaizers. I think the worst thing that happened to Paul.
Didn't say the worst, I said.
The biggest thing that happened to Paul, Peter, was when he denied Christ.
Okay. Now, in the book of Acts, Peter's the only one in the book of Acts, by his shadow, by his word, people died. By his word, people rose. The other apostles didn't have that. Not a one of them could come across and do that. He was the only one. Now, with that behind us, we kind of look at the great task, the great things that happened to Peter. Be able to heal the people. The shadow walked by and up they come. They're healthy. But none of the other apostles. Right? We look at that thing. We start saying, okay, what's the story behind here? The very last act that Peter did was when he fasted and he had to do what? Accept something about the Gentiles.
Yeah.
That was the biggest event that has ever occurred in the lifetime of Peter. When that event took place, all the others paled to, not as important. They were important. But each one got greater and greater and greater and greater. Then this went up here. What? Got to go to Cornelius? Okay. And then what happened at Cornelius' house? The Spirit of the Eternal Creator came down upon them as they did, Peter says, as they did that upon us at first. And so, Peter, that was one of his greatest moments in life because it changed everybody's opinion when that took place. It changed everybody, including later Paul. Of course, Paul had been blinded a few times, but he had to start paying attention. You know, so we look at this angel. Well, I'm talking about names, okay? How names get changed and the actions are done afterwards.